Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brewpolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brewpolo was in Perthshire.
The Shire, you say?
Yes. I don't know if Tom Bombadil will be making an appearance, but yes. Yes.
A wizard is never late.
Yeah.
Nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
That's what they say. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew coffee each and every morning. Gandalf had some strange brews going in that pipe of his.
Yeah, there's no telling what he was smoking.
It's like Lee Battle, like the modern day. Your love of the halfling's weed has weakened.
You know, I think that T-Bob could get behind a Perthshire brew, some kind of
yeah.
His would have spirits in it, whatever it is.
Yes, maybe at the Green Dragon. Yes, no doubt about it. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. I hope Lee isn't bothered by everything we just said. He'll have to get over it if he is. We're talking about Lee Battle, though, not Lee Patel. Totally different people.
Two different people.
Printing and signs, reliable service for every business need. What it means is this: your business needs printing. Every business uses a printing service. But do you use the best printing service? Are you using Pip Printing and Signs? 30 years of experience here in our state. Go to their website, pipridgeland.com. Get a look at all the services they offer, everything they can do for you in terms of signage, in terms of graphics, in terms of mailing materials, in terms of presentation materials, promotional products. If you're a business that has to do a lot of work at trade shows and expos, they can put together those pop-up, like I got right back, you can't see it, obviously, because it's not this is an audio medium, but I got a big Super Talk display behind me. They can put stuff together like that for you. Give them a call today. Talk to Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Don't forget, if you're a Mississippi State fan, 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. You just became a Bulldog Initiative business, and you didn't have to spend any more money than you're already spending. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place for the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. If you need, stuff with the new logos, let's say you wanted to show up. Let's say right now you're going to go to the game, and you're wearing a white hat and a maroon shirt and maroon pants. Guys, that's not a great look. You want to change that up. Maybe go with maroon hat. Maybe go maroon shirt. And I'm not saying white pants, but gray pants might be a way to go. All of that stuff's available to you at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area: Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Yes, I know the ad read yesterday got messed up for Restaurant Tyler. I am aware. So, to pay them back, I'm going to tell you that Restaurant Tyler is my favorite place to eat in Starkville. That if you're ever wanting to get on my good side, you tell me, hey, we're going to Restaurant Tyler and I'm buying, you're in.
You're in.
If you really want to make Brian Haydad happy, you get the stuffed pancake and you're like, you know what? I don't need any of that. That's all yours, buddy. And I will be, I'll tell you anything you want to hear at that point. So, Restaurant Tyler, when you need to have a special occasion, just make a meal at Restaurant Tyler. Boom. That's an instant special occasion. For lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you where all those locations are so that if you're in Central Mississippi, you're near one. But more importantly, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, how they're going to help you manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it is so important to be able to talk to people about your money. If you have a question, do you want to be on hold for 40 minutes? You want to talk to somebody who doesn't actually know anything about your account? I don't think so. You want to talk to somebody at Priority One Bank. That's the level of service you're getting from Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Yes. All right, then. You're all of you are like, what did he say? Don't worry about it. Sometimes there's some inside baseball. Can I hear him? That's the question, though.
Talk. Hello.
There he is. All right.
Okay. Grab my screen is pitch black. I cannot see anything. I'm well, talking
because
at my reflection.
I've been shrouded in a cloak of darkness. That is,
this is my
football.
The laptop I'm using is the one that's been beaten to shreds, dropped on the ground by my daughter. It's, you know, who knows?
It's not good.
But it's still alive somehow.
You know, the same thing could be said of me.
Yes, me as well.
All right. Mississippi State, Texas A&M this weekend at Davis-Wade Stadium, 3:15 kickoff. It's an interesting game for me for this purpose, Robbie. State's playing better. And, you know, you think, okay, they've had two tough games on the road, but they're playing better and they're figuring some things out. And now they're back at home. Maybe that's a good sign and that's a chance for them to get a win. And I think I agree with that, but my issue with this game is this. A&M is really strong on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and Mississippi State simply is not. And that, you know, when you are strong, when you have the advantage on the offensive line and the defensive line, you're really halfway to victory most games. It takes it's a rare occurrence that a team that is outmatched on the line of scrimmage is able to win a football game. And that's my worry for this game, Robbie. What about you? Is that how you see this game playing out, that State just doesn't have the horses on either line to contain A&M at times?
Yeah, especially, you know, the State's defensive line versus their offensive line. I mean, I feel like State's offense has gotten to the point where it's fairly productive. And, you know, the offensive line to me has been better. I thought last week they were okay against a really good front. You know, so I think that they can do some things offensively in this game. And my concern is, and it has been every single week, can State stop them enough in what they do offensively? Because they, you know, they're going to try to – I think they're going to come into this ball game trying to control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball, run the football, protect the quarterback, all that, and State just – has provided no pushback whatsoever up front all year long. And until they show that they can, I don't know. I mean, I will say this. I feel like State has – it feels like they're not terrible at defending the run. And maybe I'm off base on that, but I feel like there's times where they can get stops or they're not getting totally gashed with the run. And I think they did a good job against Texas. I think they did a solid job against Georgia at times. Heck, I thought they were going to get a stop on the goal line at one point on fourth and goal or whatever it was. Georgia was able to get in. They just kind of drug Mississippi State players in there. It's been an issue for them wrapping up and bringing someone to the ground on the first hit. So I don't know. I still have major concerns with this defense, and that's the big thing on Saturday is. Can they get off the field? Can they miraculously get enough stops where they're letting the offense get some momentum? Because if they get a lead in this game or they get some momentum in this game, that can change the complexion of things for this team. That can change how Texas A&M plays. We've seen Texas A&M kind of fall apart inside Davis-Wade Stadium before. Better, you know, teams that were better than Mississippi State. So, it's really going to be about the defense getting stops, forcing turnovers again like they have the last 2 weeks. And that's the big thing is you got to get some stops and you have to capitalize on the offensive end. And if State can do that, they're going to be in this ball game. But you got to keep this crowd in it, man. I mean, you have to keep these fans invested beyond halftime where, you know, I think it was the Florida game or the Toledo game. I mean, the student section was out, you know, at halftime. Yeah. That cannot be the case in this. You have a crowd that I think is going to be bigger than normal for a 1-5 team. Dak Prescott's going to be in attendance. All those great players from 2014, Dan Mullen's going to be there. give them something to stick around for. And that's the big thing. But the line of scrimmage is certainly going to be important.
It looks like it's going to be a good crowd, too, from what I've been told. You know, it feels like State's expecting a pretty decent crowd this weekend. One thing that plays in State's favor, Robbie, is – and in talking, you know, I did an interview with Tex Aggs, and then we had Olin Buchanan on Sports Talk Mississippi just the other day, and we're about to talk to Travis Brown, who covers the Aggies for KBTX out there, that this A&M team is susceptible to big plays, that if you can give Van Buren some time – their secondary will give you some chunk plays. And that's really what got State going a week ago against Georgia, was those throws down the field to Kevin Coleman and Mario Craver and Kelly Akari. And if State can have those opportunities and they can just get something, anything out of the running game, you can get into that kind of shootout that maybe Mississippi State can win and maybe the home crowd can play a little bit of a role in. But if you can't protect Michael Van Buren, then it's going to be difficult. You know, Mac Pounder's not on the injury list this week, so I expect him back. But I thought the line played a little bit better with Luke Work in there. I'm interested to see if he can stay in the starting lineup or if they just go right back to Pounder's. Texas A&M's defensive line, they're beasts. I mean, they this is, you know, a couple years ago when they had the nation's number one recruiting class, D-line was where they really, you know, spent their NIL cash. It's scary to think that Walter Nolan could still be in this group and how good that group could be. And it's really one of the best ones in the country, even without him. Do you think that State has a chance to protect Michael Van Buren and give him some opportunities against an A&M secondary that's given up some big plays this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and honestly, like, I don't think the last couple of weeks the offensive line has been all that bad. You know, they certainly had their moments, but I thought last week they were okay. And that was probably the best defensive line they've played at this point. So, I mean, that's the thing, is that you got to give Van Buren a little time to let the play develop, because there's some receivers on Mississippi State's roster, unlike years past, that can get down the field and you can hit big plays to. Mario Craver, the 72-yard pass that he caught,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good pass, but if that was in stride, he would have had 10 yards on the defender. But I thought it was a good pass. He hung it up there, put a little air under it, but he had the guy beat by 5 or 6 yards. So him and Kevin Coleman, I mean, those guys, they've had some defensive backs beaten badly this year. I'm taking some shots in this game, man. Like, yeah. You don't have much to lose. I want second half Mississippi State offense in this game. But I don't think you can just drop back and toss it around 50 times, chunking it down the field. I think they're going to have to establish something in the short game, running the football a little bit. I thought the play designs in the second half especially were really good at the end of the first half. The touchdown pass to Kelly Akari at the end of the first half was really nice play design. That fourth and short play where you had Sadu Traore kind of slipping across the middle of the field for a nice play. I really like the play calling from Jeff Lebby. I think this is a game, like you said, I think they can hit some big plays in this ball game, and we'll see if they're able to get some points out of it. But I don't really know, you know, what the game plan should be. Should you try to play that ball control offense until further notice?
I think you should come out throwing, but you got to set up some quick throws that give Van Buren some confidence. Just let him complete those first couple of passes and see if that'll help him go from there, is how I would look at it.
They tried to do that against Georgia, and he wasn't hitting them.
Yeah, but I
think he was a little jittery.
I think he was a little jittery. He shouldn't have those jitters this time around. So, or maybe you just go up top first play and let him see if you can take the top off and hit a big play and then just sort of go from there. I don't know. I think you definitely want to come out passing in this one just because that's where you've had success, and then see if that can lead to some success in the run game, but we'll see. The most important thing to remember, though, Robbie, is this. Whatever the offense does, they got to be looking at 35 points or more, because that's coming. There's no way you'll convince me this defense has given up less than 35.
I don't think they're going to be able to win a game in the 20s.
No, not this year.
Unless it's like giving up in the 20s or below, unless it's UMass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at that stage with the defense. I just do not have faith that they're going to be able to hold an offense down, because Yeah, with the way that this offense operates, even if you're trying to play ball control, there's going to be some three and outs and some punts and stuff. Can your defense keep a team for an entire quarter to like 7 points or, you know, without scoring? Can they do that consistently? I don't know if this team could do it.
No, I agree.
Giving up 600 yards against Georgia last week, 41 points, it felt like they had some big moments, especially in the first half, and you gave up 600 yards. The defense just – it is what it is right now with the defense. I don't know if any scheme can help at this point. I don't know, what's going to get this defense off the field consistently, but other than turnovers.
It's just turnovers, yeah. You just got to put yourself in position to the best you can to get some turnovers. And, there's no way to
and maybe they'll have a
scheme for that, but –
You got Richie Brown's probably going to be in attendance. You got can you put him out there at linebacker?
He knows how to get the ball away from Texas A&M. Yeah, Manuel
had three picks had
two picks against them a couple years ago, something like that. I don't know.
That's what it's going to take, man. It's going to take a couple of big turnovers. Which just like you mentioned, that's been what Mississippi State has done against Texas A&M when they've won ball games.
Yeah,
they've gotten big turnovers.
Yeah,
2014, they had the two interceptions, or I think it was a pick six from Emmanuel Forbes in 2022.
Yeah, 2017, I think they had three picks in that game.
Had a block kick return for a touchdown again in 22.
In 22, yeah, you had not 21 when they won in College Station, and there was an interception like the first or second play of the game. In that one. So some turnovers have done a good job of setting the tone for Mississippi State when they've been able to beat Texas A&M. We'll see if that can happen again on
Errol Saturday. Didn't Errol Thompson pick off a pass to end it
the end zone.
In 2018?
I don't know if it ended it, but it ended a scoring drive or a chance for them to get back into the game. And then I think like right after that is when Fitzgerald has that long run. I could be wrong on that, but I think I'm right. So
could be. It was I want to say it was towards the end of the game.
Yeah, it definitely was, yeah. All right, let's get the other side of this. Let's talk to Travis Brown. He's been on the podcast many times, has got a new job now. He works for KBTX. He's the senior Aggie sports writer for that television station. Let's get his thoughts on this game and what he expects to see from Texas A&M. Let's welcome in Travis Brown, senior Texas A&M sports writer for KBTX out there in Bryan College Station. And Travis, I don't remember a game that changed my perception of a team more than the game against Missouri did for Texas A&M. Coming into that game, I thought, okay, they're okay. They're pretty good. They may be a little bit better than they were a season ago. Now I look at them and say, well, if they handle their business, they could be in the college football playoff. They could challenge for the conference championship. I know the short answer is the quarterback was healthy. What's the long answer to why A&M was so much more impressive in that game?
Yeah, it was definitely the most complete game that they've put together since probably the 2020 season. But even then, I think the offense has a little more firepower than it did in 2020. There's a couple things going on here. I think the offensive line is greatly improved from the past 2 years. Coach Adam Cushing has come in with Mike Elko. They brought in a couple of transfers, Armaj Reed Adams, Coley Fayu at center, really kind of solidified things going on there. And that's been a big boost, not only for the running game, which Le'Veon Moss has been at the top of the SEC for the last couple of weeks, A&M's running back, but it's given either A&M quarterback a good amount of time in the pocket to work through his progressions and have a clean pocket to work from. So I think a lot of it does start from the offensive line. And then defensively, it's the defensive line. They've put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, have a lot of really talented guys back there. And it's been a the cliche is everything starts in the trenches, and that's, I think, exactly where the success has started for A&M this season.
And that's going to be a problem this weekend because Mississippi State's weaknesses lie in the trenches. Connor Wiegman, I thought, playing the first game, he was not good. He was just not good in that first game against Notre Dame, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But he was outstanding this two Saturdays ago against Missouri. Is that performance replicable? Is that what we can expect to see going forward with him? I know that's what the coaches would like over there. Is that the ceiling kind of performance for him?
Well, from the limited amount of Connor Wade we were able to see in the years prior, it's more akin to that. That's a little bit, maybe we hadn't seen that kind of performance, but it skewed more towards that side of things than the Notre Dame game. That seemed to be the exception to the rule, whereas the Missouri performance is a little bit more of kind of what everybody expected from him this season. And so I think that is replicable, because I think that's who he is as a quarterback. You know, when Marcel Reed was doing well and winning, you know, three ball games for A&M through the middle, there's a lot of question about, well, when Connor Wigman gets healthy, you know, is there going to be a big decision to make? And Mike Elko always stuck with the fact that they're both good quarterbacks, but Connor Wigman hands out won the job during fall camp. And I think that proved why is that he had that ceiling that right now available to him, that what he did against Missouri. So I think this is what the coaching staff and A&M fans were expecting from him, and I think that that's probably going to be what carries over into the through the rest of the season.
It's kind of an interesting thing for Mississippi State, how they're going to attack Texas A&M when they have the ball, and that's, you know, State can get passes down the field, and A&M has been susceptible to giving up some big plays in the passing game, but State has been so weak up front. I don't know that they can give Michael Van Buren the time he's going to need to hit those big plays. The Texas A&M defensive line, you mentioned it. And I mean, this is where all of that recruiting was the past few years. Obviously, Walter Nolan is headed out, but three of these guys are A&M, you know, have been at A&M their whole career, and then you bring in the transfer Nick Scorton, who's just been outstanding for the Aggies this year. This is about as good a group as you'll find in the SEC. Do they have depth at that position as well? I mean, I know the starters are good, but are they, you know, 6, 7, 8 deep if you can get into this game with them?
Oh, for sure. Especially in the interior, they have Albert Regis. They have Gabriel Brownlow Dindy. I mean, the interior linemen they run 4 to 5 deep. On the edge, they have Nick Scorton. They have Shamar Stewart, the two you mentioned. They have the guys who they run out there as their jack linebackers or jack position of Rylan Kennedy and Cassius Howell, who both are edge rushers too. In their right, they can float those guys in on the end of the line. They can use them kind of on third down. Their third down defense sometimes resembles more of like a 3-3, and they have that one or 3-4, and they have that one linebacker kind of floating around coming at different angles, and that's that jack position. And so yeah, they're every bit as good and deep as any defensive front in the conference.
One thing we do on the podcast every week when we're doing our preview is we predict a player called an X factor. Not necessarily the guy you think will have the best game on offense or best game on defense. Maybe somebody a little bit off the radar who you could see having a hand in this in a win for Texas A&M. Who would that player be for the Aggies?
I'm going to go with, and it's kind of not super off the radar, but I'm going to go with Will Lee, the cornerback. He leads the conference in pass breakups and has been really, really excellent for A&M in the defensive secondary. I think, as you mentioned before, if there's any hope for Mississippi State staying in this game, it's going to be because they got some chunk plays through the passing game. And like you said, A&M has been susceptible to the busted coverage every now and then. They have the talent out there. It's just sometimes the communication goes bad and they have the busted coverage. Now, none of those have really come from Will Lee, but I think he's kind of become the anchor out there on the defensive secondary and has been the guy that they match up against when they're in man against the top receiver. So I think the defensive secondary and Will Lee are going to be pretty big in this game. If they can lock it down, I don't see Mississippi State having really any of a chance.
Then I'm going to steal something that we do every week on Sports Talk Mississippi. We do a segment called Two Questions, so I'm just going to ask them both to you. What does Texas A&M have to do to win this game on Saturday?
Yeah, I think establish the run. I mean, which is something they've been able to do for most of the season this year, because if they can establish the run, it takes a lot of pressure off Connor Wigman, who's coming back from injury, even though he did have that big game. It gets the offensive line in a groove. Most of those guys they prefer run blocking. That's kind of their specialty. And so I think establishing the run will be good. And they've had a really good streak of winning the turnover margin, winning the turnover battle. And if they keep that going, that's I mean, that's always the recipe for a win.
And then the second question is obviously the inverse of that. What does A&M have to avoid if they want to win this game?
Busted coverages, especially when they're in zone. They've had some difficulty. You know, Tyreek Chappelle was their starting nickel, a really veteran guy who's been around here for a long time. He is hurt. He'll be out for the game, and he's going to be out for a while, is what Mike Elko said. A lot of the busted coverages and some of the issues have come from the guys that they've been rotating in to try to find that next guy at nickel. If they can kind of solidify that and find a guy coming out of the bye week who has been able to communicate better and really can nail down the position, that's going to be big. But they have been prone to the busted coverage about, you know, once a game or so. And that could turn the game on its head depending on where it comes in this game.
Only a couple of minutes left. One thing I said earlier this week was that, you know, if Jimbo Fisher is still the coach at Texas A&M, when they lose that game to Notre Dame, I think it becomes a situation where you just, everybody's saying, oh no, here we go again. The fact that it was Mike Elko allowed the team to regroup and rebuild itself and get back to where they want it to be. Do you agree with that assessment that if Jimbo Fisher had still been in College Station, that loss could have gotten a little further down the road, whereas with Mike Elko was able to have a quicker turnaround?
I think yes. I think the culture is definitely different. I think there's a little bit more attention to detail. There's a little bit more kind of focus on toughness and effort, especially in practice. I think the place to really look at that is the way that they fought back to hold onto that lead and win the Bowling Green game, just a few weeks later, because that was a game. Bowling Green is a pretty good program. You know, they took Penn State to the wire, and you know, coming off that Notre Dame loss, if they came into that game sleepwalking or licking their wounds for a couple weeks, that could have turned sideways quickly, and then you're really looking at a weird season, not too different from a couple years ago when the Aggies lost to App State. So I think you are correct. I think there is a different culture under Mike Elko that is enabled to bounce back a little bit quicker.
Should be a very interesting game. State could definitely use it, but A&M's a heavy favorite for a reason. Travis Brown, KBTX Sports, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Anytime.
All right, thanks to Travis. Appreciate his time. Let's move into our playmakers and prediction. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. And those steak tacos last night were outstanding. I know it's a good meal when people are getting seconds. Like, oh, they're getting seconds. I don't get seconds, but they got seconds. I was like, all right.
You never get seconds?
I try to. It's all about portion control, man. You gotta be.
You don't have to get seconds because your first is. Their first plate's piled up.
Will you stop? We're like Monsoon and Heenan here. Will you stop?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing this weekend, if you're cooking out, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. The weather's going to be fantastic. If you're tailgating the Junction or if you're just staying at home, fire up the grill and put some steaks out there. Or if you don't want to do any cooking, man, head to one of our great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. We got so many of them, and you can find a fantastic meal at each and every one of them. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. What a great menu. Tacos, sandwiches, sliders, everything, you know, whatever you want. It's just fantastic food there. I love going there. Of course, the wings, the nachos. I mean, I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop talking about it. By the way, I got to tell you about this. Our friend Ryan Sparks, who we all know, texts me. He's like, oh, I just had pork rind nachos for the first time, and they are fantastic. And I'm just like, hold up. What do you mean it's the first time you had them? You've been living in this town all these years, you've never had the pork rind nachos? I can't believe it. If you haven't had the pork rind nachos at Two Brothers, well, I mean, come on. Just get out there and try them. You're going to love them. Or if you want to go a different route, you can always go and enjoy a fancy sandwich over at the Older Brothers, Starkville's best new restaurant food that you just can't find sandwiches like that anywhere else. So if you want to enjoy something different, the place to go is the Older Brother. The place to go is Two Brothers, right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
50! So wherever you are in our great state, if you are a person who needs business technology, you need a new copier, new printers. You got to get a new laptop. Robbie, you got to get a new laptop.
Well, I did.
Yeah, but
I, for whatever reason, I can't use that one for this
broadcast. You need to get a new laptop then. You need to get another new laptop. So
I can't do that.
Well, if you do decide to, our friends at Advantage Business Systems can take care of you. And not only that, Robbie, they can provide service after the sale. Anybody could sell you a laptop. Anybody on the, you get a laptop on any street corner in Miami, from what I hear. But can you get service after the sale? That's what you get with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. If you're coming to Starkville this weekend, head over to Maroon & Co. and get some new gear. Get something with the state script, something with the interlocking, the M over S, whatever it is, they've got it at Maroon & Co. If you want to get a Bulldog Initiative polo or pullover, you can only get those at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions apply. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Offensive playmaker, Robbie, who you got for me?
Michael Van Buren, the quarterback.
Ah.
I think I might have had him last week, too, but that quarterback play in this one is going to be huge for Mississippi State. Doing having a performance like you just had gives your team a chance to win a game like this. And there might be, going up against a defensive line like that, there might be some plays that break down. Can he get out of there with his legs? Can he make the throws he needs to make? Can he extend the plays? To me, it's got to be Van Buren. Against a top 15 opponent, you got to have really good quarterback play. And I think he's going to be huge if Mississippi State wins this game.
So I'll go off of that. I thought, and I asked about this guy at the press conference on Monday, I thought last week we saw Kelly Akari for the first time this year. Was really impressive. Two touchdowns. That second touchdown catch is a great one. And I think you're about to start seeing him become a much bigger part. Coleman, Craver, and Akari is a real SEC receiving core. It's a threat. It's something people have to game plan for the first time in how long for Mississippi State to have receivers like that. I think Akari has a big weekend. I think I just expect Coleman to have a big weekend. I expect Craver to make at least one big play. But I think Akari adds himself into the mix this weekend with, you know, five or six catches, maybe another score, maybe close to 100 yards. So Kelly Akari is going to be my offensive playmaker. Defensive playmaker?
Nah.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm going to go with you. Who's your X factor?
X factor is going to be Mario Craver.
Okay.
I had a big play the other day. I just feel like you got to find ways to get him involved again. There's got to be other ways other than just, you know, run as fast as you can down the field. I'm going to chunk the ball up to you. You know, get the ball to him. In space, let him work. Him and Kevin Coleman, I think, are going to be huge. I think the freshman comes up with a big play or two in this one.
So, for me, you know, it's got to be a running back because that would be an X factor at this point. That would be somebody I'm not expecting to make a big contribution but does. So, let's go with Johnny Daniels. State doesn't have to do a ton in the run game. They just have to be better. You know, last week, I think they averaged 2 yards per carry. I mean, it's got to be double that, right? It's got to be 4.5 yards a carry, and that's going to be just fine. So if you tell me that Johnny Daniels was 15, 16 carries for 65, 70 yards and maybe a score, that's going to go a long way to me thinking, Mel State may have found a way to pull this out. But if they can't get anything going in the running game and they're one-dimensional like they were last week, I know they scored 31 points, but imagine what they could have done if the running game was doing anything for them last week. Daniels is my X factor for sure. What's your prediction?
You know, we've been called out for being too negative on this team.
Uh-oh.
And the thing we've talked about as the biggest issue for this team, like if people have tried to throw it back in our face that we were wrong or whatever, mm-hmm. We weren't wrong about this defense being absolutely awful, and it's going to continue to be Mississippi State's Achilles heel in every ball game that they lose. It's just you cannot give up 40 points and expect to win the game. And I think that's still an issue for Mississippi State. I think they're still struggling defensively to get off the field and get stops. You know, forcing field goals would be a win for Mississippi State in this game. Turnovers would be even better, as would be punts. I just don't think State's going to be able to get off the field enough defensively. And if they are, and if they somehow win this game, then I'll be the first person to be pumped about it. But I can't predict an upset just yet for this team based on what we've seen through six games defensively. But I think the offense will put up a fight. It all comes down to whether or not State can come out early in this ball game and get ahead of the chains, get a lead early. They've really struggled getting out to fast starts. I know they had a lead last week, 3-0, but they've really struggled to come out and just punch a team in the mouth and have a really good start. I think that's still going to be an issue for this team this week until proven otherwise. But if they do get out to an early start, I think they have a shot. I think that A&M's going to get a lead and State's going to be battling uphill again. And I'm going to go Texas A&M 37, Mississippi State 28.
I'm on the same page with you, basically. It's all about the defense. They can't get enough stops. And at the end of the day, that's what the difference in the game is for me. So my prediction is Texas A&M 41, Mississippi State 27. Good enough to cover, but not good enough to win. Maybe I think next week, though, they really do have a great shot to get a win against Arkansas. But we'll have to see how they do this week. The main thing to do is, Robbie, is to have the scores kind of like you and I are talking about right now, to keep some momentum, to keep the positive momentum. If something happens and they lose badly, then it just gets away from you. You need to be able to keep the momentum you've built to this point.
All right. It would be so huge for this team if they could just find a way this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. No question.
Like for this program moving forward, I mean, that it seems like they'll have two steps forward and a step or two back. You know, you had the two decommitments this week. It feels like Austin Howard's close to decommitting. You have Xavier Hardy visiting elsewhere. Mm. You just need some stability. You need some positive momentum to just keep stacking on top of each other. Mm. And that's something that they're lacking right now. So it would be tremendous. It would be absolutely huge for this team to find a way this weekend. I hope they do.
All right. Post-game show, YouTube for me. Robbie, you doing post-game video as well?
Yes.
All right, so both of us.
Hopefully my computer won't get doused with sprinklers this time.
Should be fine. So, Robbie.
MSU, can we hold off on the sprinklers until the media is off of the field?
Eh.
I mean, do we have to douse the field immediately?
Eh, I guess. Yeah. That's why I do it in the press box. Get it over with.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm already down on the field, so.
Yeah. I'm on the Super Talk channel. Robbie's on his own channel. Check that out. And then we'll have Thunder and Lightning on Sunday as we recap Mississippi State versus Texas A&M. Guys, have a great weekend. Talk to you again very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.